Knock, knock. It's someone you trust. Now give me all your money. $1 trillion. And catch me if you can, mother. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Ultimate IT Growth Conference, coming June 13th and 14th in Orlando, Florida. This is a workshop-oriented conference so you can walk away getting things done. Pick up some of Jennifer Bleem's best hints, tips, and tricks to grow your MSP and mature the way you think about growth. To register or find out more, visit mspsalesrevolution.com/ultimate.
Good morning and welcome to the May 30th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Tony Francisco, joined by my co-host, Mr. Phil Buck. How are you, Phil?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tony. Thanks for having me. You know, the team, the MMN team has been running a little short because I just heard about this convention, MSP GeekCon. Have you heard about this?
I have. I was there last week. First off, before we get into that, I just want to say, because there's a lot to talk about there. Great Memorial Weekend. I believe everyone has recovered from the MSP GeekCon show. Did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend. You know, for us, it's just holding it down with the kids, trying to keep them entertained. 3-day weekend means we got to have a lot of activities. We go to the movies, go to the museum, cook out a little bit. It was great. You know, I didn't have to recover like y'all did because I was on the back. I was on the back end. I was editing. I was not there, you know.
Well, that's the one thing people don't understand. So just everyone knows, and I'm going to make references to later on, Phil runs an AI show, the AI Roundup show, every Wednesday, which is awesome, by the way. And he does our back-end video editing. He is what makes us look so good. So I believe, and since this show is recorded a little early, there's a ton of us, that's Ray as well, still recovering from the MSP GeekCon. What an amazing show. I cannot say enough positive things about it. It was what I considered to be a true crowdsourced version of an event. It wasn't saturated with the vendors. It was the real combination of frontline MSP geeks, the guys that are actually doing the real hardcore frontline stuff, all the way through creating the policies, all the way through the actual decision makers at the MSP level. The cross-pollination was insane. The activity and productivity was incredible. And you had the right vendors there. They weren't trying to push anything on you. They were actually just commingling, endorsing, frankly, all the activity at the event. So MSP GeekCon, if you missed it, you have to be there next year.
Absolutely. So. And thanks for the special reports that you were keeping us in touch with the audience. It was like we were there.
I wish I did more interviews. There were so many good people, but frankly, there was entirely too much alcohol, but I didn't say that. hey, you know what we should probably do, Phil?
What's that?
Probably jump into the news. Let's do it.
Let's jump into the news. In our first story from bleepingcomputer.com by Bill Tulis, Ashley Lyles, a 28-year-old man from Fleetwood, Hertfordshire in the UK, was convicted of unauthorized computer access with criminal intent and blackmailing his employer. Lyles, who worked as an IT security analyst for an Oxford-based company, attempted to take advantage of a ransomware attack on the company in 2018. During the response to the attack, Lyles separately tried to trick his employer into paying him a ransom instead of the external attacker by altering the original ransom email and creating an almost identical email address to the attacker's. His plan was to divert the payment to his own cryptocurrency wallet. However, his unauthorized access to a board member's private emails was discovered through an internal investigation, with the digital trail leading back to his home. Although Lyles wiped all data from his personal devices, incriminating data was restored after a seizure by the Southeast Regional Organized Crime Unit's cybercrime team. Initially denying involvement, Lyles ultimately pleaded guilty in a Reading Crown court hearing 5 years later and is due for sentencing on July 11th, 2023. The potential punishments under UK law for his crimes range up to 2 years in prison for unauthorized computer access and up to 14 years for blackmail. So, Tony, as long as I've known you from working on the show, it does not seem like something like this would happen to you, as paranoid as you are, but also running many companies, how would you handle something like this happening?
Oh, wow. So this story speaks to so many people in so many different ways. The first things first, let's just talk to the general audience. The general audience, which is security conscious, and my people that are highly neurotic, maybe most of my people. Please, if you're highly neurotic, reach out to me. So you're one of my tribe, please, please. But those people are freaking out right now because what's happened is two things. The first one, which is clearly obvious, they should clearly be trying to exploit their company when their company's getting attacked and funneling the money into their own private wallet. That's clearly the story here. But there may be another side of that where they're realizing that their own everybody right now,
should we respect all, this guy or should we
all the IT people right now are like, it's a great point, Tony. No, that is called sarcasm. So the other side of this is where they're starting to getting examples of their frontline team members doing really dark stuff and how unfortunate it is. And I've used this analogy before, where as the leader of a company, you're spending all day trying to put out fires. And the last thing you need to do is turn around and see that your team is setting fires to the fire truck. And that's exactly what occurred here. That is the angle from the front line that we could all see. The other side of that is from the leader, the business owner perspective. This is the most terrifying of terrifying situations. You heard that there was a third party audit trail that was discovered. A third party came in and did an audit trail. And through that e-discovery, certain things were uncovered at board member level access. I cannot tell you the visceral reaction that that creates in my heart, because these are people that you entrust. But now we're talking about something completely separate. Think about, from my background, which goes into your initial question, we were one of the first ever hosted Microsoft Exchange offerings in the world. We hosted tens of thousands of companies. The stories that I saw were such a range of horrors and traumas. It fascinates me when I see this stuff that we don't teach each other a little bit more about locking things down. Authentication, 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 which ironically circles full circle back to the frontline people. Everyone, it doesn't matter if it's you, it doesn't matter if it's your peer, when an admin goes rogue, and it does happen, the devastation will just ripple beyond measure. And it, I mean, that was back in 2018, and they're now in 2023 doing the full discovery of everything. So think about the things that haven't been seen. Think about the things that were lost in that trail. I can't emphasize enough that we need to focus on security mechanisms and practices and education at every single level in the organization to prevent and stop items just like that. Sorry, Phil. I can go on and on and on about that.
My anxiety is up. My therapist is going to be getting a call. Thanks. It's all
you're one of me. You're one of me. Welcome to the family.
I've joined the club, but to help me assuage that a little bit, do you have any good news we could talk about?
Jumping into the next story, AI is catapulting NVIDIA towards the $1 trillion club. NVIDIA, a company primarily known for its graphics processors used in video games, is on the verge of becoming the first $1 trillion US company due to its pivotal role in artificial intelligence. NVIDIA's shares surged more than 24% to a high record, reporting record sales due to the rapid acceleration of AI technologies. The company's value now stands at over $938 billion US, nearing the $1 trillion mark currently held by companies such as Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, and Google's parent company, Alphabet. NVIDIA graphic processing units, GPUs, initially designed for better computing graphics, were opened up to software developers in 2006, allowing them to be used for various computational purposes. Developers discovered these GPUs were extremely efficient at performing the intricate calculations required in modern AI systems, with the capacity to conduct multiple computations concurrently, a task traditional computing engines, like central processing units, struggle with. This has resulted in NVIDIA's chips becoming critical components to PCs, cars, robots, and AI-driven tools like advanced chatbots. Phil, there are so many things I'd like to talk to you about, and we could start with an ASIC chip, an application specific integrated circuit, which is very purpose built for processing. And that's what GPUs really are. And then how we can use ASICs to do these AI computations all the way to Bitcoin mining and a variety of things. That's diving into machine learning stuff. But, you know, if I, because that we're getting in the weeds there. If I only knew someone that knew about AI and the advancement of AI, is AI popular now? Let me pause for a second. Hey, everyone. AI Roundup. Every Wednesday, Phil runs that show. We're talking to the Pope about the Bible right now. This is where I step back.
Wow.
Talk to me. How prolific is AI? Do you expect it to grow, and in what areas?
Well, first, I just got to say this. Gamer moment. Thank you to all the gamers out there, because if it weren't for people trying to beef up their Skyrim mods back in, I don't know how long ago, who knows what would have come from GPUs? I mean, that's the thing that fascinates me, is that, of course, right now, AI is the darling of the GPU boom, right? But this is the second phase of it, right? We had cryptocurrency that made GPUs almost, you couldn't find them, right? Like, there was a time where there was farms of these things. Of course, Tony's going to reach back and pull the Ray move on me. I don't have any GPUs I can grab.
The Ray, I like that, the Ray move. Now I know what it's like to feel. Hold on, because Ray reaches back. Hold on. There we go. I got a GPU. Sorry.
But no, I do think this is great to see that. Again, I'm going to shout out to the gamers out there. I'm just joking, but thank you, gamers, because I don't know how we would have ever predicted. I didn't have any knowledge of a GPU becoming, so usable for all computational purposes. You know, like, when did people figure that out, and why did it become such a thing? What other technologies are just sitting in wait for, purposes that they haven't taken yet? I'm curious, in 10 years, what will we look back and say, oh, well, this thing, it was made for smart refrigerators to keep your to keep intelligently things cool more efficiently. But now it's it's the new AI brain or something like that.
ASIC chips, again, application specific integrated circuits, are extremely efficient at doing something. And I use the term all the time. Listen, hey, you could probably use your phone to hammer in a nail and build a house. Probably could. Probably better tools. I'm just saying, there's better tools out there for it. And when you get into a GPU, which is very specific, an ASIC specifically for one thing, now you're starting into weird subcultures where there are ASIC chips that are very specific for Ethereum mining, very specific for Bitcoin mining, and so on and so forth. And some of them are actually, those ASIC chips are can ride through a number of those mining protocols, because that's what they're built for, but not other mining protocols. So you're starting to get into subcultures and areas of efficiency. And when I say areas of efficiency, it's almost exponential efficiency. And when you're talking about like your refrigerator chip, I don't think it needs that level of efficiency. I think it has a very minor amount until it does. And when we go to the refrigerator and it has facial recognition, and it's looking at our body to fat ratio, seeing what we should order versus what we want to order, and then
put that ice cream back in the freezer, Tony.
Probably need an ASIC chip for that. Probably.
Please, Kenmore, calm down. Can I just have this pint of? But no, you did ask, where is this going? It's hard to say, but I do know. Obviously, artificial intelligence is everywhere, and NVIDIA is surely going to hit the $1 trillion club. I mean, who would have guessed, 10 years ago? I wouldn't have.
Well, I would have, because my stupid $250 video card that was like, $1,200 to get. Anyway, I should probably get the next story. I'm going to get grumpy. AI, ASIC chips, $1 trillion. What's next? So wait, next story.
I think we might get some more anxiety. Are you ready? And in our third story from darkreading.com by Elizabeth Maltabano, attackers are employing a new method to evade detection in business email compromise, or BEC, and account takeover attacks by purchasing locally generated IP addresses, Microsoft has warned. This tactic circumvents the common impossible travel security flag that signals when an account is accessed from geographically distant locations within an implausible time frame. threat actors are using services like BulletProfLink, a platform for creating large-scale malicious email campaigns and residential IP services to obscure their actual location. This enables cyber criminals to access compromised accounts from anywhere. BEC attacks are on the rise, with the FBI recording more than 21,000 complaints in 2022 and losses exceeding $2.7 billion. To combat these increasingly common attacks, Microsoft recommends various protective measures, including the use of DMARC, multi-factor authentication, flagging messages from external senders, and reporting unverifiable sender identities as phishing or spam. The company also emphasizes the importance of employee training in recognizing fraudulent email, and cybersecurity experts further suggest that organizations should rely not only on geolocation, but also on a comprehensive behavioral analysis to verify the authenticity of network access attempts. Okay, so Tony, let me stand in as the layman here. What exactly does that look like, a comprehensive behavioral analysis?
Ooh, okay. So for anyone driving that's listening to this, please pull over. This is what we call instant narcolepsy, and this could bore you. We're going to cause car accidents. So if we're talking about security, we're talking about baseline stuff, and that involves what is your identity management server, your Active Directory, your LDAP, whatever you want to call it. But just because you have your basic username and password, then you need MFA, 2FA, whatever you want to call it, to say, hey, this is the who you are, what you know, that type of thing, what you have. But even then, that's not enough. And I'm a firm believer that you need automated password rotation policies, which of course, by doing that, you now have to, in some capacity, have like SSO, single sign-on, and that's done through OAuth. There's a variety of ways that you can do that, but OAuth seems to be the preferred mechanism protocol right now. That is baseline stuff. That is absolutely baseline stuff. You mentioned comprehensive. So if we just address that, which by the way, name five companies off the top of your head that have automated password rotation with SSO with a single point of, not gonna happen. It's just not gonna happen. And we're talking baseline entry level stuff. After that, we're talking about traffic, payload inspection. We're talking about the WAF firewall components. We're talking about endpoint authentication, and Auto Elevate is a great example of a vendor that does a perfect endpoint authentication and privilege regulation on the endpoint side. But what about everything in between? What about, you mentioned there's a DMARC, you're talking about the domain-based authentication, you mentioned geo-specific authentication. In the article, it talks about how they actually create local IP address purchases. So now it looks like it originates from locally and not from Iran. And not from Russia or China. So, well, that kind of, destroyed that whole geo-specific signature profile. So now you're talking about signatures, you're talking about heuristics, you're talking about anomaly detection. That is the general overlay on top of the endpoint, on top of the centralized authentication, and then the payload inspection in between. So if you're going to talk about right now, I'm pretty certain at least five car crashes occurred because people literally fell asleep. I really hope the pilots aren't listening to this while they're flying the planes. But I cannot emphasize enough, all of this needs to be acknowledged, if not addressed, because a lot of times people don't even acknowledge it, which of course leads to never being addressed. If you at least acknowledge it, it will give you a very quick insight to how prolific the problem is, or actually you're much better along than most people. So hey, we could talk on and on and on about this. I would love to hear from the audience about what they're doing about this. Talk to me.
I just want to say, as someone that's had to watch every single episode of MSP Dispatch, a lot of what was in that article sounds very familiar to the advice that you get on nearly every episode. But thank you for a little, deeper dive on some things that maybe we don't touch on as much. And also, as somebody that's seen every episode of MSB Dispatch, you know what I think we're supposed to do now? Some notables.
I think the notables. Let's do it. And my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com Microsoft has announced that an upcoming version of Windows 11 is expected this week, and it will offer native support for RAR, 7-zip, and GZ archives. The news was revealed at Build 2023 conference by Microsoft's chief product officer. Currently, manipulating 7-zip, RAR, or GZ archives requires third-party applications. The integration, developed through an open-source live archive project, will improve the performance of archive functionality during compression on Windows. As Windows and Linux continue to integrate further, support from common Linux archive formats like gzip and tar will also be beneficial. Support for these archive formats will be gradually released to Windows 11 users in the coming days. And in my next notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, GitLab has released an emergency security update, version 16.0.1, to address a critical path traversal flaw, CVE-2023-2825, with a severity score of 10.0 on the CVSS V3.1 scale. The web-based Git repository has approximately 30 million registered users and 1 million paying customers. The vulnerability found in GitLab Community Edition, that's CE, and Enterprise Edition, version 16.0.0, was reported by a security researcher named Pawnee. The flaw allows an unauthenticated attacker to read arbitrary files on the server when attachment exists in a public project nested within at least 5 groups, potentially exposing sensitive data. GitLab advises users to update their installations to version 16.0.1 as soon as possible. There are no workarounds currently available.
In my first notable mention from TechCrunch.com, OpenAI has expanded the availability of its ChatGPT app to iOS users in India and 32 other countries, including Algeria, Argentina, Brazil, Canada, Japan, Mexico, and the United Arab Emirates. This follows the app's launch in the U.S. and its subsequent expansion to 11 other countries, such as France, Germany, the U.K., and South Korea. The ChatGPT mobile app, which allows users to interact with the AI chatbot, has reached over 500,000 downloads since its initial U.S. launch, making it one of the highest performing new apps. The free app also supports voice input through OpenAI's speech recognition system, Whisper, and has advanced features accessible through GPT-4 for ChatGPT Plus subscribers. While currently available only for iOS, an Android version of the app is planned for release. OpenAI's expansion of the ChatGPT app coincides with CEO Sam Altman's international tour to engage with global policymakers on AI issues. And my next notable from bleepingcomputer.com, Microsoft has launched a Windows 11 dev build that includes a much-requested feature, the Never Combined mode, which enables users to display all windows as separate items on the taskbar. This option, part of the Windows 11 Insider Preview build 23466, is still in early development. Once activated, the feature will allow the taskbar to present labeled app icons individually. Users can enable the feature by going through settings into personalization, into the taskbar, and then taskbar behaviors, and setting the combined taskbar buttons and hide labels to never. A new setting also allows users to determine if buttons should be combined on other displays. According to Microsoft's Feedback Hub, the option to never combine app icons in the taskbar is one of the most requested features for Windows 11. The new dev build also includes the dev drive feature and tests additional Windows 11 backup and restore functionalities.
And in the resource of the week from bleepingcomputer.com, Microsoft has released an update for its PowerToys toolset, adding 2 new utilities that enhance control and preview functions on Windows systems. PowerToys version 0.70 includes a feature called Mouse Without Borders, which lets users control up to 4 computers with a single mouse and keyboard. It also enables file transfers under 100 megabytes between devices via drag and drop, and shares clipboard contents across all PCs. The new Peek utility allows users to preview a variety of file types without opening them and associated files. Microsoft PowerToys, a set of freeware tools, was first introduced during Windows 95 era. The toolset was revived in 2019 as an open source utility pack designed to improve Windows functionality.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. On May 31st at 11 a.m. Eastern, protect your Microsoft and Google data against ransomware and other modern cyber threats presented by Acronis.
Also on the 31st at 2 p.m. Eastern, the most cost-effective network penetration test powered by Kaseya. And on June 1st at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, Leg Up 23 presented by Gradient MSP. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have, in case you missed it, AI Roundup Episode 12, Chatbot Showdown, The Good, The Bad, and The Useless. On May 31st at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Partner First, Unlocking Client Budget to Scale Your MSP to New Heights. And as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it, please hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't like it, hit it twice. We got to hit three times just to make it happen. You know what I'm talking about. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know that we also have a Discord where we post these stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As I believe it's Ray's friend, Rich Banky, says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. And do you have any questions? Email us at news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or just leave us a voicemail at 833-MSP-Network. So, Phil, this is so weird. Not Ray. Phil. How did you like today's episode? I thought it went awesome. You did incredible, but you totally are cheating because you have your own show, the AI Roundup. What are your thoughts?
Hey, you know, I took the time to go get my eyebrows on fleek right before we started recording. I didn't know I was going to be on the show. And of course, I got the message and I said, put me in, coach. I'm ready. So Ray, thanks. It's an honor to be here with you, Tony. Yeah, I thought it was a great show. Lots of great stories. Got to catch up on MSP GeekCon, which I did hear. I'm pretty sure Rich Banky was there.
It was. We had so much fun. I mean, I'm not joking. We had so much fun. Like that. He was hilarious. Anyway.
So he is your friend now too, then, not just Ray.
Kind of. Well, he threw his glasses at me. That's a whole nother story, and it's wildly inappropriate, but it is absolutely hilarious. So here's what I saw, though. You said, hey, coach, throw me in. You're like one of those UFC fighters where, like, someone got hurt. Hey, Phil, you in? It's in 2 days. I'm in. And you just won. And you did it with style. You did beautiful today, man. It was so nice having you on the show. Seriously.
Hey, thanks. It was a pleasure. I mean, I love this show. Like I said, I've seen every episode. So I was ready. I've been in training all this time. I just study you guys in the editing room. I know everybody's throws. I know everything you're going to do. So you couldn't have picked another better person to fill in.
Awesome. Okay. So everyone out there, thank you so much for watching today's show. If you can, please look at the AI Roundup. It's every Wednesday at what time, Phil?
10 a.m. every 10 Wednesday.
Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday, or 10 a.m. I guess everyone, 10 a.m. Every Wednesday, and it covers amazing stuff. Phil is an awesome host of that show. But in the meantime, everyone, thank you for watching, and please be safe.
Take care.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
And catch me if you can, mother. And today's stories. I don't even know the rest of the footage.
These stories and much more.
Okay, I'm gonna redo that. Okay,
I got my eyebrows cleaned up just for you right before mm-hmm. the show.
By the way, everyone, eyebrows on fleek, Tony. Nice. Everywhere I was going. Everywhere.
You never knew that was going to become your legacy.
Never. That's it. My legacy is on fleek.
How did that even start? Was that Simon's fault?
Simon, 100% Simon.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was something about eyebrows, and then he said eyebrows on fleek, and then ran off with it.
He did, and I was awesome. Like, he goes eyebrows on fleek. I go, yeah, yeah. What is that?
Which is what everybody fleek. Says to you now, right?
Exactly.
The tactic serp. Oh, God damn it! I get to be on the B-roll.
That's CVE 2023-2825 with a severity score of 10 on the CVSS V.1. One more time from the beginning. I'm sorry.